Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Adrian Butler, and welcome to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast. I'm so elated that you are here with us today. Our topic today is fashion and the faithful. We're expecting to have just a great time today. We have some guests that will be on, and we're just going to talk about fashion and faith in the year 2013 and beyond. We are happy to say this day we had an opportunity. A good friend of ours, Pastor Timothy Williams, has had his first book signing on his first book on today. And the book is Accepting Your Call to the Full-Time Ministry, A Preacher's Diary by Reverend Timothy O. Williams. The book signing went very well. I've had an opportunity to skim through the book. In fact, when I get off the air, I am planning on diving into it. And you will hear a little bit more in the next few weeks on how to get Reverend Williams' book. I think it will bless you. It is a book about not just his diary and his life, but also some victories he's had and also some failures. I don't care how great your ministry is, as we very well know, we are working for the perfected progression of Jesus Christ. And as we're working towards perfection, we know that sometimes we do fail and fall. There's only been one perfected soul that has walked the face of this planet, and his name was Jesus Christ. There was a soul that walked this planet who was created in perfection, but he failed. He and his wife failed, Adam and his wife Eve. And so, which brings us to our show today, is can you imagine having such a relationship with God and such an innocence within your own consciousness that there is no clothes? You have no need for clothes. You have no need for fashion. You have no need for the differences in fashions and fads and all of these other things that we are captivated with on today when we discuss fashion. Before the fall of man, woman and man, we just might as well be honest, they were without clothes. This whole moniker that brings us back about, or the mentality that brings us about having fashion, having clothes, happened by virtue of our sin. So we're going to talk today not about the sin portion. We're going to have a little fun today when we talk about fashion, and we're going to have a little fun today as we talk about our clothing. But the first, as we all know there in Genesis, the first clothes that were created for man, God created himself out of skin of an animal. So I believe that's where fashion started. Actually, let's take it back a little bit further. Fashion first started with the fig leaves. Man and woman trying to cover themselves up, and then when God came, we know when God does something, he really blows it all out of the water. God comes out with a skin of clothing for them, and then he just blesses them, and I believe that's where the trend of fashion really started. But we're going to have a great discussion today, fashion and the faithful. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and like I said, we're going to have a good time today and have just a wonderful, wonderful, blessed talk about fashion. Also, on next week, I am so excited. I am so excited that on next week we will be celebrating our 12th month of broadcasting here on BTR, here on Blog Talk Radio. Monumental milestone for us, because when we started with a little under 250 listeners, and God has really blossomed. The ministry has really blossomed, this radio show, that now we have just thousands of people that are listening every single week. And if you are a regular listener, a regular caller, I would just like to say thank you so much. You have made this past year of broadcasting for this show just a place of excellence. You have made this show what God has planned for it to be. You know, we... As we move forward in this ministry, and again, this ministry is part of our ministry at Zion's Bridge International, which is a prayer networking ministry for pastors, ministers, and those people that want to plug in to other people. We have ministers that are within this ministry that have what you would consider close to mega-sized churches as well as very small churches. But the one thing that I have found is everyone has a gift and something to offer as we go into the discussion of the Word of God. You know, if I meet a man of God, a man or woman of God, and they can truly come down to the understanding that first of all, we are disciples. I love to meet someone that understands the depth of who they are in Jesus Christ. In other words, they understand that they are a servant first. If I am called of God to do anything, whether it is with my gifts or my talents, I become a servant. I become an instrument of God. So whether I am called in a place of charismatic preaching, it is not me. It's not under my own volition that I do it, but it is only for the glory of God. And God has one thing in mind, and that one thing is that people might be saved. So to see yourself as a tool of salvation, then we can work, we can fellowship with you, we can worship with you, we can love you, we will hug your neck, we'll be your brother, and call you our brother and sister, and we'll try to connect you with as many men and women of God as we can, because we know that there are plenty of members, many members, but there's only one body. And if you have a true kingdom mindset, then we can connect you with people of like-mindedness. Now, if you think that you're here for the people to serve you, then, you know, you're not going too far with Dr. Butler anyway, because I'm about doing my Father's business. If you're about doing your business, then I'm sure you have your own clique that has that own mindset as well. If you want to join in on the conversation, we're going to be at, our calling number is 347-215-8947. Again, 347-215-8947. And we would love to have you call in. Again, faith, fashion, and the faithful is our subject matter for today. And we want to have that discussion dealing with faith and fashion. But before we go any further, of course, you know, we always, always, always got to get into the Word of God. In fact, let me just take a moment to say, on this month, you know, every month we have a Bible study, and the month of July's Bible study deals with the impartation of the Holy Spirit. The impartation of the Holy Spirit. We, of course, are going to start with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and go through to the impartation of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that you'll find in the, I'm just going to let a little bit out, I really want you to go to the Bible study and be blessed by it. There at ZionsBridge.com, again, ZionsBridge.com. I want you to go there and be blessed by it, but I want to tantalize you just a little bit with some of the teaching. And one of the things that we see that the Holy Spirit is, if you are a person that there is no bridle on your tongue, I think James talks about there being a bit in a horse's mouth, but, you know, we should be able to hold back our tongues. If you're that person that cannot do that, the Holy Spirit is a filter. What do you mean by that? The Holy Spirit filters. In fact, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit is a revealer of all truth. So the Holy Spirit should be able to filter what is going on in your mind before you say it. In fact, if you cast your cares on Jesus, in fact, the Word of God even says, if you let this mind in you be also in Christ Jesus, if he has captivated your mind, if he has your mind and you have surrendered your thoughts to Christ, then what comes out of your mouth will be a blessing instead of something that is hurtful to other people. Our scripture for today, bless the name of God. You know, I love that. And people, I guess when I'm speaking or whatever and I say bless the name of God, I do. I truly bless the name of God. Matthew 23:28 says, in the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteousness, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And so, realistically, you know, I believe that a person's outer appearance usually reflects their inner appearance. Some people may want to discount that. But, you know, you will not wear anything on your outside that does not appeal to you inwardly. You're not going to put, if you're not a hat person, you're not going to put on a hat, no matter what they tell you. You know, how good they tell you look at a hat, you're not going to put it on a hat. So your inward appearance usually reflects on the outside how you look. If your esteem is not of the best esteem, then you will try to wear clothes that are larger, loose fitting to hide what you feel are flaws. Let me share one thing with you. If you have a good heart, dress that way. And I want to tell you right now, you need to walk in the righteousness and love and beauty that God has blessed you with, and show yourself. I mean, not show yourself as far as your you know, not being naked in that sense, but I'm saying show yourself. Get you some clothes that make you feel good about yourself. Good. Again, it's vanity. We might as well call it what it is, but look good for yourself. Have a great body image of yourself. Have a great image of yourself. Understand when God looks at you, he doesn't see someone that's broken, who's torn down. What he is looking at, the Word of God says he sees your heart. And he already knows that inside you're broken at times. But what he wants you to do is to see yourself as he has, as he sees you. You are bought with a price. You are redeemed. You are beautiful to Jesus Christ. You need to look in the mirror and just say, not in a place of arrogance or hypocrisy, but you need to look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful in Jesus Christ, and know that you are beautiful in Jesus Christ. Now, I already know my guys are saying, man, ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to stand in the mirror and say I'm beautiful in Jesus Christ. You can change the vernacular and say I'm handsome. It's still the same thing. You are beautiful to Jesus. You are handsome to Jesus Christ. We're going to have a word in a moment, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss fashion and the faithful. This is our good friend, Dr. M.W. Henderson, with a word in the light.
I am Dr. M.W. Henderson, and I would like to speak to you a little bit today about the word in the light. Every man, woman, and child leaves home expecting to return with no problem, but sometimes it doesn't happen this way. There are accidents that happen every day, and no man knows the day nor the hour that his midnight is coming. So some do not return home as planned, and their loved ones never see them alive again. So I would like to ask you a question. If you have not given your life to Christ, where are you going to open up your eyes? In John 1:1-9, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. There was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. So know the Word was God. So I ask you, what was the light? Jesus told his disciples, I must go away, if not, the Comforter would not come. What does the Comforter do? Why do we need the Comforter? The Word of God says, the Comforter will guide you into all righteousness. So God's Word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says the Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Now, why would the Word say this? Because God knows that we would need guidance out of darkness and the Comforter leading and guiding us, which is the Word of God. So you say we do not need God? Who gave his only begotten Son, and his Son came and gave us a second chance with grace. Jesus is the light, and it lives in us, and he guides us through this life. Now, God never said there would not be trials and tribulations, but Jesus said he would never leave us. Jesus has promised us that in the Father's house there are many mansions, and where he is, there we should be also. That is a promise that he has made to us if we keep his word and his commandments. You know, in the old days, they always said, don't go into the light. But I say to you, don't hold back from the light, for this is where the glory is. Jesus promised you, and he is waiting for you. It has nothing to do with what we have done right or how much witnessing we have done. This is all about how much he loves us and he wants to fulfill his promise. Won't that be a glorious day? This is Dr. M.W. Henderson, and the Word is in the light. Seek the Word. It should give you comfort. God bless you, and have a great day.
Praise God. That was our good friend, Dr. M.W. Henderson, and welcome once again to our discussion, Fashion and the Faithful. And we're going to take another Word in the Light break, and then as soon as we come back, we're going to get into our discussion. I have a special guest here. I know this guest very, very well. In fact, I have a closet that I get kicked out of every single morning. So of course, I know her very well. My own wife, she's going to come into the discussion, and we'll move on with our discussion today. Again, we're so happy that you have taken your time to listen to the Positive Destiny broadcast on today. This is Dr. A. Jerome Butler, and this is another Word in the Light by our good friend, Dr. M.W. Henderson.
This is Dr. M.W. Henderson, and I'm coming to you today to talk a little bit about the way Jesus teach. Sometimes we respond that it's upside down. But in Isaiah 55, 6-13, it talks about this, about our journey through life. And in 55 and 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things that intrigue me about Jesus. One of the aspects of his ministry that has always produced jaw-dropping, head-scratching response is his upside-down teaching about life. As we journey through life, we may get to the point where we think that we've got it figured out and our thought patterns are response for navigating through life and deeply ingrained. Yet Jesus interrupts us in the midst of our routine and calls us to a new and better way. But beware. This encounter with the ways of Jesus will be challenging. Consider this contradicting positions. To live, you must die. That's Mark 8 and 35. Now, in Matthew 19 and 21, it says, to gain, you must give. Blessed are those who mourn, in 5 and 4. To rule, you must serve, Luke 22 and 26. And in 5, 10 through 11, it says, and suffering has purpose. It is pronouncements like these that make people think Christ is strangely out of touch, the way most children think their parents are. But we are the ones out of touch. And so are the children. Jesus and the parents are not upside down. The children and we are. We are like children who think they know better than their parents what is best. No wonder God has told us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And this is why the parents feel also, rather than relying on our mixed up instincts, let's ask him and the parents to help reflect their ways. What may seem upside down to us is right side up to God and the parents. This is Dr. M.W. Henderson. Seek the word, and it should guide you and comfort you. God bless you, and have a great day.
Amen. And again, that was our good friend, Dr. M.W. Henderson, with our Word in the Light. Again, we're talking about faith, and we're talking about fashion and the faithful. And we have our guest. We have two guests. I'm going to bring one guest on, as I said before, is my wife, because I really want her to explain to everybody why we have to have 39 pairs of black shoes. And then our other guest is Dr. Charles Walker, my sweetie. No, I'm just playing with her. She only has 12 or 13 pairs of black shoes. But and then we'll introduce Dr. Walker, and we'll get into our discussion. Sweetie, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. And you know, I really have to say, you know, I love you dearly, and you know maybe you can explain to the audience why we have to have 13 to 14 variations of black shoes.
I sure can.
Okay.
You have variations of black, and you also have different types of and styles of shoes. You know, you wear open-toed shoe with certain outfits. You wear closed-toed with a certain outfit. You may wear tight boot shoe. Or you may wear a flat shoe, but it depends on what you're wearing as to what type of shoe you may need. So it does call for just more than one pair.
Okay. Well, we're going to bring on a designer and a fashion mogul in every sense of the word, I feel, is Dr. Charles Walker, Jr., who is, I can remember Dr. Walker, when I lived in Augusta, when you launched your line of clothing, and I was just so excited because I actually had an opportunity to know somebody that was in the fashion industry. Can you help my wife out, Dr. Walker? She has 39 pairs of black shoes. Can you help her out?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for having us on, and again, we sincerely apologize. Had a little bit of trouble getting on, but it is a true blessing to be a part of it, and thank you for the work that you all do. And let me say this: I appreciate your support. That was in the early 90s
when we launched
Heritage by Paris Walker, It was something else. I was 23 years old at the time. I ain't gonna tell my age. But we really appreciated it. And I, you know, I started off, you know this, if you live in Augusta, Georgia, and you look at how people dressed, even the young people back in the day, because it was the golf capital of the world, you had a lot of preppy, quote-unquote, dressers. Our line took on that whole preppy golf look. And that's what Paradise by Paris Walker was all about. Now, the ironic thing about it, people really think that, well, you know, he designs clothing, and so I get a lot of questions about, you know, fashion, and fashion is very varied.
Right.
You have the core dress where they say, well, you know, perfect people really can't dress. And the bottom line is that you have a lot of different colors out there, period.
Right.
And then in the world of prep, you have pastels and all different types of colors and shapes and sizes, et cetera. But when I started off, because that's the way I grew up dressing and going to preparatory school, et cetera, that's all I knew. So when I first started designing, that's all we pretty much focused on up until, believe it or not, perhaps a year ago. And I'm pretty sure you were reintroduced to our Facebook page, Prep 101.
Exactly.
Where you see a lot of the women clothing. And what has happened is that since we've been posting images, we wrote a book called Prep 101, The Battle of Social Status and Rank, where we talk about the origin of fashion, but also the origin of what we call the social uniform, the plaids and the cottons and the twills that the elite or the aristocrats wore back in Britain. And that was the beginning of fashion. And pretty much what they call the commoners wore what the kings and queens wore eventually. But at first, you know, all the clothes had to be ready made. I mean, so they had to cut and sew. So they had to make it.
Okay.
And commoners couldn't afford to do it. Up until later on during the industrial age, everybody wanted to look like them. And, of course, when everybody starts looking like everybody else, the elite or the wealthy sort of changed their style. And so in the process of sort of trying to educate the audience that we have through this book and sort of reveal the secrets of the wealthy, we started posting images of people dressed in preppy attire. And when we got to women, it changed drastically.
Okay.
We said, well, there's very few images out there. And we curate them. We find images all over the web and things that we like that we think other people like to sort of display the lifestyle. But we realized that women, like, they would dress preppy, but they would also have Dolce & Gabbana, Gucci, all of the higher brand fashions. And what happened is that when we started posting women's clothing and ensembles, where we coordinated the looks and the colors, the page went from 500 fans and started growing at 10,000 a week until this very day.
Wow. Wow.
And that started probably 6 months ago. So I never designed women's clothing, but me and my partner, Cedric King, who has a wonderful eye for fashion and coordinating colors, et cetera, we have found what women like as a result of really just posting what we like to see. And with his fashion eye, we've learned a whole lot in terms of what women like to wear. And because of this social media age, which has been just wonderful for us, they'll tell you what we're like. We posted some images, and we've had the highest we've had on one post on Facebook of the images that we posted, 244,000 hits. I mean, 44,000 likes on one picture. And now we're averaging somewhere around 4,500 per post, which is phenomenal. But what we found is that Christians, for this conversation of the topic today.
Right.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I was just going to say, out of the postings that you have, because I do, I'm also one of those people that frequent your Facebook page very often. And I don't remember if I have or have not seen the designer names. I have seen plenty of the, and I have seen some,
but for the most part, the type of styles that you have are seem to be more upscale. But they also seem to be you can probably substitute them with some less expensive styles.
No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And right. Because we curate and find these different looks that are already put together, women in the body of believers, and those who we're all trying to find ourselves, we post images that we believe are professional, classy, for every occasion, and we have not to date posted, you know, the pricing, who the designer
right.
is, and how much
right.
the items cost, because when we started off, the goal was simply to inspire, to give people
right.
what
right.
we consider a lookbook. And what has happened is that people are archiving the photos in their phones, mm-hmm. and they're going to retailers and boutiques saying, give me this look.
Right.
If you notice, we call them... Yeah, and we call them social mannequins, and
okay.
because they don't have a face, so people can see themselves in it regardless of their size or shape, and they get an opportunity to look at the dress that they like, and people actually, you know, if you look at the comments, people comment, hey, I like the shoes, but I don't like the bag, don't fit your body shape, etc. So the environment that we've created. And you're going to love this because as a result of you reaching out to me, we really had to think about our Christian audience, which is large. I mean,
exactly.
we have pastors commenting on it all the time. And what we've noted is that the Christian community is very, very fashion forward.
Very much so, and as we were saying in the at the top of the show, Champ, is that we also I'm not trying to digress, but let me take a step
sure,
back for just
that.
A moment. Let me take a step back for just a moment because I like your site because of several reasons, but one thing is for sure, the urban look. In all communities, it's not just the African American community or in the Caucasian community, but the urban look has such a far-reaching span that it has reached into the church, and we might as well be honest. So much so that if you are and everybody that walks out the house, I believe you look at yourself and you are trying to be fashion forward, but there are certain, I just have to be honest, we were in church, three or four months ago, and again, called me salt and light and love, but you know, this brother, he was probably in his 30s, mid to late 30s, is sagging in church, and, you know, raises his hands up to praise the Lord, and I can see your underwear, and I guess that's really what, you know, knowing what you were doing, with trying to give people an option to be self-conscious about their design, but about their style, but also to have more of an upscale. That's why I wanted to bring you on because right now within the church, just as varied as our worship, we are varied in our what we wear. We wear T-shirts to church 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Which was probably not acceptable. Men wear hats in church and everything else right now. And I'm not trying to change the culture. The culture is what it's going to be. But I believe that as a body of believers, as people that serve Jesus Christ, I think we really need to make sure that I'm not offensive to anyone else. My fashion shouldn't be offensive to you. I shouldn't, honestly, my 3-year-old should not have to look at, you know, your undergarments if your shirt rises up because your style is to have your jeans low.
Oh, my goodness. As eloquent as you were, the can of worms.
I know.
Because out a campaign we call RAPE, Readdressing America's Youth. And in that book, it of course, it talks about the origin of style and dress, where it comes from, and dress is an identifier, typically, of how one feels on the inside.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons why the post and the hits and the high social engagement we have on the site is there, because we put something out there for everyone. And people like to identify. I'm going to What Is Tonight for this reception, et cetera, et cetera. And people do that when they dress. They want to say, here's who I am, without having to say it necessarily. And some people go overboard. In our culture, in this urban culture, the line back in 1994 came out after Cross Colors came out. And if you remember Cross Colors, you had the big baggy pants with the red and the black and the green and the big shirts in the bold colors. Well, it was such a hit because people were beginning to reach back to their roots in Africa, and it was the hot thing. Boutiques were doing dashikis, kufis, and sashes, and I loved it. But we had a newspaper in Augusta called the Augusta Focus, and J.C. Penney came to us and said, look, we're going to open up some African boutiques. This thing is in. What do you think? At 23 years old, I said, well, it's nice, and I think it'll sell, but I couldn't go to school, church, or work wearing a dashiki or a kufi without people, you know what I mean, saying, what is going on?
Exactly.
I said, now, coming from Augusta and looking at Cross Colors, I wouldn't wear Cross Colors because I used to wear plaid pants and Oxfords and Bucks, and, you know, that's what we grew up around. So when they left, I hadn't got a day's worth of sleep yet because I realized that there was a niche to take a pair of khaki pants and use kente cloth, which we've deemed kente plaid, put it inside of the waistband of the khakis, or a pinpoint Oxford shirt button-down and put it in the back, or a polo shirt where the two buttons are. And so it was an Afrocentric twist to preppiness, okay? And I said, well, down south especially, we're more conservative. And that has a lot to do with our religion. Okay?
Right. You're right.
And so people never really understood the depth of why African Americans down south dress more conservatively. But it has a lot to do with belief. So when you look at urban and where urban came from, which was from New York, and so, you know, and through music, it trickled down. And now it's really gone crazy because down south now, the South has taken off in terms of entertainment. But the type of music has changed the dress as well, gangster music, et cetera, and what they're saying, what they're conveying, and the good life, okay, for you know, a segment of the youth is partying, drinking, you know, being gangster, the thug life, et cetera. And so they're dressing in jeans, that's, hey, $250, $300, shoes, $200, et cetera, even though they make perhaps, you know, $125 a week at McDonald's.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So what we see, and we talk about it in the book, is how because we aspire to be and we don't really understand wealth, we wear all of our wealth on our backs.
Wow.
And
so good point.
So you see us living the life through our dress and through expensive cars while we may not even own a home. And that all points to one thing, is that we take dress seriously because we want to convey that we you know, that we got it going on. But the fact of the matter is, in America especially, and I'm going to say something some people may not agree with, but I break it down because this is something I've studied for years, is that we have become so accustomed to living our forefathers who worked in plantations, et cetera, who grew up around wealthy people. We've become so accustomed to hand-me-downs and working in the plantation. We actually spent more time in mansions cleaning up and taking care of people's cars and lawns and furniture and sometimes raising kids. than our counterparts did themselves. So
right.
We're comfortable with renting and getting hand-me-downs. And
wow.
ownership for us takes on a different light. You know what I mean? We rent washing machines, TVs, dryers, etc. But I'm saying all that to say that dressing is a mentality, and because the urban community, which started with us, you know, the inner city life, hey, everybody, most of us come from the inner city, tough life, and it has been expressed through our clothing, and this music has gone to the forefront, which is impacting people globally. And so not only do our young brothers and sisters dress with the jeans hanging down, with the undergarment showing, you have white inner city kids, wealthy,
exactly.
in college,
yeah.
who do the same thing.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And it's serious. It's a lifestyle. And all of it comes from what they are exposed to.
Well, champ, the other issue is, you know, I would say in social cultures, it's always been a trickle-down effect. In other words, as you were just saying, whether it was a lifestyle, the way people live, it always trickled down. Fashion, to me, has been the one thing that has trickled up. Am I wrong in that? Because, again, like I said, the urban wear started with the music and all, and this culture, usually, you know, music, whether it was classical music, jazz, whatever, it always trickled down to from the elitist to the masses. And that whole dynamic has shifted, I believe, in the last 20 or so years, because now where the elitist set the bar and the standard for music, that's not it. Right now, the music is starting in the urban area and then working its way up to the elitist. So is the fashion, like you said, having kids all across the color barrier that are now wearing urban wear. So it started at the bottom and it's worked its way top. Am I right in looking at? I know you studied this, so that's why I'm asking that.
Listen, we wrote the book because even though I created the line, I was more fascinated, the preppy line, I was more fascinated with the lifestyle of revealing
right.
the secrets behind people who wore it. Because,
gotcha.
Again, we're trying to express who we are individually. So
right.
that's, and people don't realize, but they judge people based upon what they wear.
Exactly.
Haircut,
exactly.
We do it every single day. But you're 100% correct in that. The people who the elitists always dictated what the masses would wear. If you look at CBS, you look at Good Morning America, you look at the Grammys, Emmys, all these red carpet affairs, you'll see that now they take the paparazzi takes photos of these folk on the runway, et cetera, what they're wearing, and now they offer you to find viewers that exact dress at a lower price.
Exactly.
There are all kind of apps that are out there for you to
That's
download,
right.
websites that you can go to find what celebrities are wearing. So there are different marketing and promotional strategies to market folk who are in this elitist or top 1% group. But,
right.
however, as we talk about in the book, there was a book called The Preppy Handbook came out around about 1985. Very, very popular. It was called the Preppy Bible. She rewrote it, and it was strange because the year we were getting ready to come out, her book came out, and it was so funny because we thought we were doing something grand and new. I have to admit it. We were talking about how people of color and other immigrants, other ethnicities, put a spin on preppy clothing because now we're going to college, we have more money, and because of our cultural characteristics and background, when we dress preppy or a certain style, we bring a certain twist to it. You know, we like different colors. We're going to wear it differently. But guess what? Because we're trendsetters, because we're always aspiring to be like them.
Right.
We're always being a little bit more creative because we don't have. And when we do that, now because of videos and music, now the good life, we're able to articulate another kind of good life. Now you see Puff Daddy on a yacht with all of his guys drinking and wearing tuxedos, but if you notice, they don't have them the jerseys.
Right.
Or the jeans,
exactly.
Like they used to,
exactly.
Necessarily. Jay-Z is dressed up now. So now
exactly.
the good life is being dictated to by urban youth and more so matured urban celebrities. So
exactly.
it's a different world nowadays.
Can we have a caller online that has a question or a comment. So this is Dr. Adrian Butler and Dr. Champ Walker. Do you have a question or comment for a host, for a guest?
It's a good afternoon, Dr. Butler.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good. I have a comment to make. And oftentimes when we talk about black folks in the South and in the North, in the urban areas, sometimes we forget that blacks are divided into subgroups. I've lived in the North and the South, and oftentimes in the South, 80% of the communities in the rural area and the urban area just to have the advantage of having the media outlets there, and like you said earlier about the music. And so those kids in the urban area most of the time are more isolated because of the economics, and they only see that lifestyle. They don't see, like in Philadelphia, the urban kids can't drive 30 miles to the urban area where the job's at, where the opportunity is at, because they live in a reality of poor blacks in the urban area. Because when you talk about urban blacks, you must talk about the upper class, the middle class, the lower class. And oftentimes, I think when we talk about urban blacks, folks are implying about the large number, which is the poor blacks. And so when I was in college, you know, we did a lot of dress code and experimented with a lot of things on the negative side, but we had a major influence with our parents and the college, so we did things, experimented with things. It was not our reality or not our dream. When you get urban kids, hip-hop is their life. It's not an entertainment. And so I think the damage happens to the kids, urban kids who are poor, and second and third generation urban kids whose parents are no more informed or appropriate or standardized than the kids. So I just want to throw that out there.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that. And Dr. Walker, we want to thank our caller. Thank you so much. In what you're doing, I know that you're reaching out to youth. Is there a dynamic there to reach those youth that may not be able to afford the $200 sneakers or the $300 jeans? You just mentioned Jay-Z, and so these are the images that they're going to see, but at the same time, I don't think in some of these areas there are. Case in point, I was looking at the NBA finals, and these guys are taking on a new sense of fashion where they used to just have the T-shirts. They're really coming out with ties now and the bow ties and really the preppy look. Do you see an issue when these kids are trying to change some of these urban looks, as the caller was saying, to become more preppy or look more like the Jay-Z on television or more the poor guys that they see? Are there outlets out there that these kids can get to bring themselves up to elevate their fashion sense?
Well, you know, it's something that the retail community has been boggled about for the last 2 years, especially since the economy, people don't have enough money. If you remember the big white tee craze, they had
yes.
a song out, perhaps called, you know, My White Tee, and you wondered, how in the world could you make a song about wearing a white T-shirt?
Right.
And white T-shirt sales go off the chart. Probably
right.
billions of dollars, and we didn't know anything about it. Well,
that's right.
That inner city youth ran to those white tees. Guess what? They were cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran to those cohort work pants. And something that, you know, people just normally worked in. Timberland boots, if you remember. Timberlands were just a regular work boot.
Exactly,
but
yes.
they put him in a video, and they became a fashion statement.
Exactly. Okay. And a couple of hundred dollars now.
A couple of hundred dollars to buy. So
it's
not going to change anytime soon. Now, because of the economy, even the ethnic designers nowadays are designing more mainstream sportswear-like apparel.
Gotcha.
It's funny because the social uniform that the elite still wear to this day, identified as sort of preppy or sportswear, that's something that during a downturn in the economy, you see people reverting back to more conservative dress. And conservative equates to traditional. Traditional equates to mainstream and Ivy League, what they call smart dress. And it's reminiscent of the good life. When people are broke, they're not as stylish, so they go back to what they know. And what they know is what they came over here in the British when they first came over. Americans always aspire to be more European, even to this day. If you look at where the fashion center is, it's over in Europe.
Yes.
To this day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And so we're always aspiring, but the difference is urban kids have a voice nowadays, and they're speaking the truth about where they are, and people are hearing it, and they're connecting with other youth of different ethnicities who can relate to a problem, not exactly their problem. So you got a culture, as the caller just called in and made the comment, you have a culture now in living this thing out daily. And so they're going to always have their own fashion sense. Now, I do believe, and this is a good thing, as the Jay-Z's and the Puff Daddies of the world, and even especially, you look at Isaac Carey nowadays, younger gospel singers, Kirk Frank, as they're on the scene, and if you notice, they're dressing preppy. They're wearing those pastels, those bow ties and ascots, et cetera. As they express themselves through this type of dress, we're going to see the youth turn that corner. And I think it's going to take conscious people in positions to do product placement and to reach out to our youth, to talk to them about what you're wearing says a lot about who you are. And if you change the way you dress, it can actually help change your attitude. It's kind of difficult to fight when you're wearing a suit.
Exactly.
You don't feel the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think there's some hope, but I think we as Christians have to set the standard. And as always, as intercessors, be in a position to pray for those in authority that this is something we really need to deal with.
I agree. Chap, we have about 6 minutes left, and I know there's some other initiatives that you have going on to bring a sense of dignity to our youth and also to a certain community. Can you share with us some other things that you're doing? And like I said, we're going to have to get you back, of course, as your time allots, because you're just a wealth of knowledge dealing with this subject matter. And a few weeks ago, we were dealing with fatherlessness in America, not just African-American, even though that is the highest. My prayer is this show brings another dichotomy to a person's mindset, to another dimension to a person's life, that people will have a choice. So what other things do you have going on, Champ, that the community needs to know, that our listeners need to know, that they need to get behind what you're doing? Also, maybe any books that you have, or just to educate themselves fashion-wise and to see what's coming. Because as you're talking, and as our caller said, Brother Myers, there's a void right now for the urban youth that some entrepreneur that is listening maybe to this show will have an opportunity to fill the void. Anytime there's a void, that means there's an opportunity. So what else do you have going on, Champ, that the audience needs to know and that they can get behind?
Well, as a part of I would ask the listeners to, if you have a chance, check out the Facebook page, Prep 101 fashion book, and like us, we have not launched our platform really to the public. We've been strictly on social media. People don't even know really the whole mission behind the company. Like I said, initially, our whole goal was to sort of, you know, put out those images. But what you're going to find out in the next 3 weeks, we've written the book. The book will be coming out as well. We're going to sort of give people the history and the background of fashion and, you know, how the elite and the commoners, how there's always been a battle of this 1% against the rest of the world. And you see it with the Neiman Marcus or Saks Fifth Avenue, just here in Atlanta. You know, hey, it's strange, but the inner city kids, guess where they shop at on the weekend?
I guess.
You see more of them at Lenox and Neiman Marcus and Fifth Plaza than you see in other malls. So it's something that, you know, happened hundreds of years ago that is still happening now. And in the book, we deal with the social reproduction of P. Diddy's kids because he has wealth and ascended through the ranks of the hood to the status where he is, his kids would end up next to Bill Gates' kids. So it's a different day. It's because of media, because of cable, because of social media. We're up front. But I think we need to have dialogue, and we use Prep 101 as that vehicle and that platform to talk about readdressing America's youth. So I ask people to join us on that page and to not only get inspired, but, you know, to contribute, get some education, share some knowledge so we can help change our youth. And I'm going to let you go on this. Lisa Rae McCord just came on board with Prep 101, the actress. She saved new attitude, and like you said, from Diamond and Players Club to a princess when she got married, and now she's working for the kingdom. So her goal through Prep 101 is to talk to young women about dressing appropriately. And we're very excited about that, and I have more information for you in the next couple of weeks as to the actual launch of that.
And when you get to that point, Dr. Walker, we definitely would love to have you back on the show to help promote the book. And anything else you're going to, hey, if you can convince her to come on, bring her on as well. We'd love to talk with her as well. But at the same time, you know, having you, like I said, you're just a wealth of knowledge. And I just believe that one thing that God wants for all of us is that we should elevate ourselves. And the Word of God says, occupy till I come. That means more than just stuff. You know, you need to occupy mentally. You need to occupy in your heart and in your spirit. Those things that are righteous and those things that are good. We're called to be salt and light. Dr. Walker, we have about one more minute. Anything else you'd like to share with us? Or, like I said, we would love the schedule to come back on in the future when your book is released.
No, we would love to. And I would just like to say that there's nothing wrong with having 30 black shoes in your closet, Ms. Butler.
You just really messed me up, that chap, because I was trying to get you to get on my side and take her through an intervention. Instead, you've convinced her that she probably needs some more and some more different designs.
No. Now, hey, prep. We designed Prep 101 for that.
Amen.
But let me. I would say this other thing. Pastor Butler, what I wanted to say was, you know, after 24 years of marriage, I've learned whose side to be on. There's never a good side when you're on another man's side.
There you go.
I put you on the outside, but I ain't going to do it on that.
There you go, my friend. There you go. Thank you so much, Dr. Walker, for taking a part. And we will have you back on the show again. This is the Power of Your Destiny broadcast, and we just thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast today. On next week, we're going to be celebrating 1 year of broadcasting. We thank God we have over 50,000 listeners. Thank you all so much for being a part of our guests in the last year. We want to celebrate those people, celebrate our initiatives. And I want to tell you this week, when everything else is going on in your life, remember, God loves you. Keep going.
It's tough to cope with asthma, diabetes, or COPD. If you are an adult and have one of these conditions, you may be at increased risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia, even if you are a young adult. In some serious cases, pneumococcal pneumonia may be fatal and can strike anywhere. Compared to healthy adults, symptoms can be more severe and may take longer to recover from. Don't risk getting pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor if vaccination is right for you. Brought to you by Pfizer.